Welcome to the Marketing Society podcast. I'm your host, Mike Pigger, editor at the Society. And for today's pod, I'm delighted to welcome Dini Jami, speaker, activist, and co-founder at Check My Ads, and Claire Atkin, co-author of Branded and co-founder of Check My Ads as well. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you for having us.
That's sad. It's great. We finally got to talk. I know we were trying to make this happen as a conversation in December. So since then, the world has done about another 3,000 things that are crazy. So we'll get to. But I wanted to start off for people that don't know. In general, we were going to talk about kind of brand safety and what Check My Ads are and what they do and what you guys do. So would you talk, could you guys talk about sort of what Check My Ads are, how they came to be, and what its mission is?
Sure. Yeah. So back in November 2016, I was a B2B marketer working for a small tech company based in England, actually, in the UK. And, you know, the elections happened and, you know, I went on Breitbart.com for the first time. You know, I'd heard about it throughout the election cycle. I'd never been on it. And, you know, so I went and visited the site and I found not just the headlines that were just sort of abhorrent and terrifying, but I saw that it was covered in ads from some of the biggest companies in the world. And of course, I know how advertising works, how digital and programmatic advertising works. All marketers do. But I don't think you really realize, I guess it's not the kind of thing you pay attention to until you see advertising juxtaposed to rhetoric like that. Mm. So it was the first thing I noticed, and I quickly realized that, you know, this is how this organization is making money. They're publishing incendiary content, they're driving angry readers to their website, and then they're monetizing on that traffic. So I co-founded Sleeping Giants. It is a social media campaign dedicated to, originally it was dedicated to making Breitbart unprofitable. And the way we did that was just by tweeting at companies to let them know their ads were on Breitbart. Our bet was that, you know, companies, you know, we all just sort of turn on our ads and we don't really know where it goes after we hit that switch. So we would let them know on Twitter, we'd take a screenshot, hey, did you know your ads are on this website? And brands were, you know, very eager to let us know they didn't place those ads there, they didn't want them there, and that they had added them to the block list. So it was such an easy thing to do. Anyone could get involved. And all of this stuff was taking place, like I said, on Twitter, on social media. So you could see that we were getting results. So originally it was just a couple of us, but our little campaign grew. We grew to over 400,000 followers who basically just did the same thing that we were doing. And of course, everyone was seeing different ads based on their user profile and user behavior. So we were able to scale this effort of alerting brands very quickly. And we were so successful that later we learned that 90% of Breitbart's revenue was wiped out within three months. Mm. And this, the whole thing was a volunteer effort. I was working the whole time. There's certainly no money in it. and we just, we, you know, we kept this thing going for, and it's still going. And in fact, the movement grew and Sleeping Giants started to pop up in other countries. So there's Sleeping Giants Canada, there's Sleeping Giants Australia, there's Sleeping Giants Brazil. It's even bigger than our original campaign at this point. Really a sign that this problem hasn't been solved. Mm. And in fact, it may be growing. Because of course, companies were blocking this one website, but there's so many websites like it. There's, you know, thousands or potentially hundreds of thousands of websites that are engaging in the same kind of behavior. So Claire and I met last year, was it? I guess 2019. So a couple of years. Yeah, it's been
a while ago.
we just entered January 2021, so I need to recalibrate. So we met, and we, you know, we're both B2B marketers, and we were, you know, thinking about the same stuff. And I'll let Claire elaborate on her background in a moment. But we just saw that this problem wasn't being solved, and we kept asking ourselves, why is Sleeping Giants still in business? We need to find a way to address this problem at a systemic level. We can't continue to operate like this in a way that, you know, brands are finding out about where their ads are appearing from random Twitter users. Like, that can't be the best that digital advertising can do. So, so we started Check My Ads in June of 2020. And so that was in the summer. And we started it as a consultancy, to a brand safety consultancy, to help brands understand where their ads are going and to start helping them think about how to intentionally advertise in the places that they want to go, the places that they want to appear, and start thinking about advertising in a more intentional way. Mm. Our goal here is to help companies feel like they're taking back control of their ads.
Yeah, and you'd hope they'd want to do that, I guess, especially the ones that are, you know, if they're very carefully managing their image that they put out in the world. I suppose that's kind of like this glaring loophole, perhaps, that they're sort of going, well, you know, we do all this with press releases and our advertising and everything else, but then actually some certain things are, you know, appearing in places that perhaps go contrary to how they're putting themselves out there. So, I mean, I guess let's hear from Claire. Claire, what was your sort of way in? What was your background into all of this?
Yeah, so I have been a B2B marketer in the software world forever. It's like business to business. I have helped grow marketing departments for years now, and I was equally as concerned as Nandini about the 2016 American election, but my reaction was not to start a viral campaign. It was to go to the international, it was to go to the global campus for human rights and study international election observation and to understand how exactly to observe the media and social media to monitor the types of disinformation that we see today. And what I learned there is that even the experts are struggling. And so when Nandini and I met, we had all of these different angles and all of these different perspectives on the problem. And then as marketers, we realized that actually marketers are struggling. That we juggle so many things as marketers. You know, we're always working on copy and visuals and brand. And then as soon as our ads hit the programmatic part of the marketing campaign, we just give up control. And we understand, Nandini and I understand why that is, but we think that we can do a lot more as marketers to at least put our ads under the microscope, to at least, you know, look under the hood to see where our ads are going, because of course, placement is just as important as the copy and the design.
Do you think as well it's kind of the sort of symptom of what, you know, people expect, what I guess customers expect and society in general expects now, of kind of, you know, I don't know, when you go and look at an item of food, you perhaps want to know where it came from, that it was grown in a certain way. And it's like you now expect kind of more from brands in terms of, you know, where they're putting themselves out there and where they're positioning themselves. I mean, oftentimes they have, you know, they put all of their purpose and their values on all of their products and say, you know, we're ethical, we're sustainable, we're this, we're that. But then actually, if they're sort of, you know, if they're sort of falling through the loopholes, I mean, what kind of responses did you guys get when you started Check My Ads initially from approaching brands?
So it's true that marketers are now dealing with social media in a way that, we've identified is more like a conversation. Like, it's more like the brand shows up to the party and has to learn to socialize now. And part of learning to socialize is asking and answering questions. So it's expected now that when we ask brands, you know, is your food gluten-free? Is it organic? That they answer immediately and quickly so that we can keep our bodies healthy. Equally, we are now expecting as consumers to have answers to, for brands to have answers ready when we say, we noticed that you're harming society in this way. Did you mean to do that? And so we talk to brands about this sort of conversation, this answerability that that is the responsibility now of corporations. And we don't see this going away anytime soon. Like, this is not like a Donald Trump and Boris Johnson era thing. This is this is a new relationship that consumers have with brands, and it's one that we have to prepare for.
I mean, I guess with sort of I don't know. I mean, you're obviously doing this at least before, and then, you know, formalized it with Check My Ads. But did you get any kind of pushback or I don't know, backlash in terms of what you were trying to do or achieve? Or is it more just sort of silence when you approach people sometimes and you think, okay, we're giving them an easy way to say, oh my God, yeah, we didn't mean to do, you know, to put our ads in these places. But do you find that there are certain signs when people aren't willing to work with you, or what would you say? I don't know. I'm trailing off with my question there, but you get the idea.
No, so we haven't received a lot of pushback from the marketing community. We have we both have our sort of haters now in the right, you know, right wing trolls, you know, don't love us. But I think we positioned ourselves quite well because, you know, one thing that we promised we would never do is have block lists, and have, you know, block lists were the top request for us when I was working on Sleeping Giants. Do you have a block list? Do you have a list of sites that we should not be advertising on? And the answer that we gave at Sleeping Giants was always, you know, that's not up to us to maintain. That's not up to us to, you know, tell you, because ultimately, it's your brand. You have to make the decisions for yourself. Mm. And that same philosophy is how we, is what we operate on at Check My Ads. We want people, marketing teams, to be making their own advertising decisions. We're just sort of guiding them and helping them understand the landscape and understand the just how people react and what people are thinking on the ground these days, so that they can make their own decisions about where they want to appear and how they want to show up in the world.
That sounds quite similar to the argument when sort of Black Lives Matter took off, I had friends of color where they were getting exhausted by their white friends saying, tell us what to do about, how can we not be racist? And they said, look, you have to go and do your own research. You have to do the reading and figure it out yourself. You know, you're an adult, go and be an adult. It sounds a bit similar in terms of the brands. Like, it sounded like they were asking for an easy solution from you, just saying, "Oh, just tell us who we can block, and then we'll tick that off our list and move on." But where you were actually trying to push it back and sort of say, "You guys need to grow up and be more adult about this and own it yourselves," I suppose. That's how I see it, anyway. That was my way of thinking.
That's a possible analogy. The problem with a blacklist or a block list, which is what people really wanted, is it doesn't address the conversation. And what you do when you are implementing a block list, or what we suggest really is an inclusion list, is that you are making decisions on behalf of your brand. And if we told you to do that for you, we would be disempowering the marketer or communicator or advertiser who is in that role to make clear decisions on behalf of their brand as they reflect the brand values. And that's really what we're talking about here. So there are a whole bunch of angles within the conversation of where should we be and where should we not be that marketers have to address internally. And it's really an exercise in corporate diplomacy just as much as it is about, you know, placements. So we talk, for instance, about questions like, well, I want to block disinformation and hate speech, but I want to do it in an apolitical manner. Okay. How do I do that? And if you just hand over a block list, you're not going to have that conversation. It's not going to be a training exercise. It's going to be yet another way that we are automating our our advertising, which is exactly what Nandini and I have been trying desperately to get marketers to move away from. You cannot automate your way to brand safety. Equally, you cannot automate your way to understanding your brand values. So what we do is we actually run trainings. We don't provide a block list. We run workshops that have stakeholders in the room where we discuss these issues. You know, it in a two-party political system, when there are clear sides to a binary discussion and you want to remain neutral, you are at risk of getting the middle being pulled by one party acting in extremes. That's a terrible way to identify your brand values or your character within an ecosystem or a media landscape. So instead, what we say is, why don't you, instead of hanging your hat on neutrality, hang it on something like journalistic standards? And when you can change the conversation and change the framing, it becomes much more empowering to you as a marketer.
And I suppose it sounds more like as well, like kind of bringing the humanity back to it as well, as in, you know, you're trying to move away from automation and trying to bring it back to people. And I guess kind of, I suppose, what people stand for and what's almost like ultimately the right thing to do. I mean, often sometimes people come back to a very general phrase of, is this the right thing to do? And it's almost like a morality thing. It feels like it's a bit more ambiguous. There's no exact set of rules, but it feels like a better space to be in, perhaps. I don't know.
You know, it absolutely is bringing the humanity back, but more importantly, because that's of course what marketers are trying to do every day of our lives. More important, it's injecting a pragmatism back into our advertising efforts. Like, it's just illogical to advertise all over the internet and on places where there is hate speech and disinformation and conspiracy theories. It's bad for our brands. Mm. So what this does is it just says, hey, let's think about this for just a second.
How have you both found it? I suppose from when you launched to now, even if you just take, say, I don't know how much you work globally, but at least if you just take America, for example, just because of all the things going on there. I know we sort of talked before we started recording about this briefly, but I'm just curious kind of what the sort of feeling is on the ground and how it's affected your work and the brands that you're speaking to and things like that.
Okay, so what is happening in America is violent and scary and not unprecedented, of course, but it has awoken brands and especially tech brands, like tech platforms, to their responsibility within the media landscape. And what it has done is helped the public try to have a conversation with brands about their larger responsibility. And I think because of that, brands are starting to pay attention. Like 2021 is impossible to predict for marketing. I've noticed that there are literally no hot takes from like marketing thought leaders yet because nobody knows what's going to happen. But the number one thing that we predict is that brands are going to start to pay attention to their advertising spend and tech platforms are going to have to start taking a real line on what is and is not appropriate use of their platforms. So, I mean, we've been working for years now in this field. Nandini especially has been here for even longer. Like, this is something that Nandini has been ringing the bell on since 2016. And I think now we're just finally getting listened to. And of course, that's bittersweet. We are sad about the state of the world.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very interesting time. There's just so much change, almost like on an hourly or daily basis. Globally now, at least, it is interesting. I know there was this thing with, I don't know if you saw Angela Merkel come out and say that, I think she was sort of misquoted, but she was basically saying that, you know, it shouldn't be on the responsibility of the tech companies to be regulating some of these things. It should more be on a government level. But I guess she was sort of saying it's unfortunate that people like, you know, Facebook or Twitter or whoever have to step in and take a stance on things. And should the world be beholden to them? But it's like, have they grown to a position of too much power? And I don't know, maybe a bigger conversation, but I mean, do you guys end up working with sort of any kind of official bodies other than brands, like sort of government bodies or anything like that? Or is that a touchy subject?
Yes.
Well, go ahead, Claire.
I was going to say that we consulted on it was free. We worked with the Harvard Business School to talk about dark pool sales houses, which is a story that our newsletter branded. You can find our newsletter at branded.substack.com. So it's a story that we broke in the summer about how advertising was actually being used for money laundering and how there was this gaping hole where ad fraud was taking place in a way that affected brand safety. And when we broke this story, we got a lot of pushback. And then what we found is that although journalists didn't report on it as much as we expected after it, what did happen is that the national security community started taking interest and paying attention. So yes, we are working with policymakers in small ways here and there, and we would certainly do more, but we focus on brand safety because that's where we think that corporations and marketers like us can feel empowered. We welcome regulation, of course.
And I guess I just realized we're sort of slightly running out of time, but I kind of want to round up a little bit with our members are typically CMOs and marketing directors of global brands. What sort of would you like to see them thinking about, I say next year, actually this year, so for 2021, when it comes to brand safety? Are there any sort of things on your mind, both of you?
Yeah, I would like to see, I know that in 2020 was sort of a wake-up call in so many ways because of the pandemic, and here in the States and around the world, when the Black Lives Matter movement began to take hold, it was sort of the first time that brands were being expected to take a stand on something. And they struggled with what to do. Should we say something? Should we not say something? Should we donate money? Who do we donate to? There was just so many questions around what to do. As we move into 2021, as Claire had said, this isn't going to go away. We're going to need to expand our thinking in the way that we think it's possible to connect with our audiences. You know, we've always connected with our audiences through marketing messaging, but we've sort of experienced a shift where people want to know that brands share their values and that they're acting out those values in their communities in tangible ways that they can see and feel and experience. So I think in 2021, we're going to want to see brands just sort of radically shift their tactics. Instead of, what can we say to connect with people? What can we do to connect with people?
Mm. Yeah, I mean, it does feel one of our most popular themes of Empower, our publication last year, was community and togetherness, I think, was the most popular issue. And I do wonder if that feels like the kind of thing that's maybe going to continue as a theme this year somehow with people. Is there, I guess, just as a final thought, are there any things that you've seen in the past sort of year, in terms of bravery that either brands or business leaders or people that have done things that people have done that have really sort of stood out for you, that have kind of given you hope and encouragement? I just want to end on that hopeful note.
Yeah, the bravery that we've seen has been brands that are not taking giant stands. It's the bravery of individuals within corporations who decided that they needed to do something about this. And despite their role as someone who marches with the entire company of 12,000 people, some of our clients are Fortune 500 companies. I mean, these are huge teams and they all have to work together. All it takes is for one person to say, I think we should check our ads. And that kind of bravery actually is quite something within the marketing world. I mean, there's a whole group of people who are better off if they don't check their ads. And for some marketer to just say, no, I think we should take a look, even if the numbers look good, even if the campaigns are strong, we should make sure that our brand is being protected here. that kind of bravery is the kind that Nandini and I are just so amazed by every day.
Sounds like a good point on which to end. What I'll do is I'll include details in the sort of in the podcast kind of show notes, to links and things for people to check out what you guys do. Just for now, I just want to say thank you very much to both of you for the discussion and thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michael.